This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello. In the recent genocidal war on Gaza, Israel's strategic failures have come under intense scrutiny. Despite its military power, Israel failed to achieve any of its stated objectives: the complete neutralization of Hamas, the resettlement of Palestinians, and the prevention of further retaliatory attacks. Instead, the resilience of Hamas and their ongoing steadfastness highlight the limitations of Israel's approach, raising critical questions about its effectiveness and prompting a reassessment of its policies in the region. Welcome to Press TV Spotlight. I am Bahman Ray, your host. Let us begin with a short report.
Warm hugs. Tears of joy. And an atmosphere filled with a sense of liberation. These scenes have swept across the devastated Gaza Strip as families separated by war reunite after months of anguish. Tens of thousands of displaced Palestinians are braving harsh conditions to return to their homes in northern Gaza, carrying both hope and heartbreak. This long-awaited return was made possible by the implementation of a ceasefire agreement between the Israeli regime and Hamas.
My feeling, thank God, is that I'm strong in the struggle and I will continue in our struggle. Regardless of the destruction, we will continue.
Even if we return to rubble, at least the person returns to his home. It's better than tents and displacement.
Despite the ruins and the catastrophe awaiting them at their destinations, Gazans carry on with resilience etched into their souls. To them, this return symbolizes a profound victory, one forged through steadfast endurance in the face of Israel's genocidal war. Every step toward northern Gaza is a clear declaration that their determination to resist cannot be broken and serves as a testament to their refusal to surrender their land and their identity. A sentiment which was also echoed by the leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The ceasefire comes as Israel's failure to achieve its goals in Gaza exposes deep divisions within its cabinet. Hardliners like Ben-Gvir have resigned, calling the ceasefire a mistake, while others like Smotrich push for renewed war or the full annexation of the West Bank. With such discord and opposing agenda, many are left asking, will Israel honor the agreement or will it break the truce and unleash another cycle of war crimes, mass killings and destruction in Gaza?
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back. Allow me to introduce my guests. Saeb Sharf, author and commentator, joining us from Belfast. And Ken Stone, executive committee member of Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, joining us from Hamilton. Gentlemen, very good to have you on the programme. I'm going to start with Saeb. In what ways did Hamas show resilience during the conflict?
In every manner you can think of. At the beginning of the war, Hamas showed and the resistance that the incubator, the Palestinian people behind them. Since the Zionist entity started the war with dropping leaflets all over Gaza Strip before it's ordered the people to move from zone A to safe zone B, and all of this rubbish and lies which played psychological warfare on the people and displaced them from the north to the south and vice versa. When it said in the leaflet, the Zionist entity, we are only targeting the resistant Hamas, we are not targeting the population. The population straight away, they seen how the policemen being targeted by the drones who organizing the aid convoys or queues in front of the banks or ATM machines, and then the aid workers being killed, the hospitals being destroyed, the schools, the universities, the infrastructure, the street being uprooted. Then the population, it's being targeted while it's on the move and displaced. All of that, when they started realizing the people that is everyone is Hamas in here in the Gaza Strip? Is every child who's been the sniper target their heads with two bullets, as even a British and American volunteers doctor showed and told the world? Babies with the sniper's bullets in them. So the people straight away, all along, they knew the resistance is right. And they discovered that the Zionist entity is committing genocide in here. Since we're not going to forget at the first week after the war started, there is a document was released by the intelligence ministry in the Zionist intelligence ministry. Right. I think it was on the 13th, saying the plan and the design in there for evicting the people from Gaza toward Egypt.
Right. Now, Ken, a lot of world leaders expressed dismay of the Israeli atrocities in Gaza. Iran's leader today mentioned that it's wondrous that Gaza, such a small territory, brought the arm to the teeth Israeli regime to its knees. Your take on that?
Well, all Palestinian solidarity activists in Canada are thrilled that the Palestinian people have survived the genocidal attack by the U.S. and its proxy, Israel, on the people of Gaza. We are thrilled that a temporary ceasefire is now in effect. We've been marching and demonstrating and protesting 16 months for that. And we're pleased that the that their prisoner exchange is has started. In addition, it's encouraging to see that the political leadership in Gaza has survived and is still in charge, and the military leadership is still functional. This is an amazing achievement after 16 months of brutal attack. But we think that all of this is very fragile, and it's there's fragile for one main reason, and that is that the U.S. Is in charge of the negotiation process. It's not the United Nations who's in charge. It's not a peace conference that's been called of all the countries of the world, as has been suggested by the People's Republic of China. So the U.S. under Biden and Blinken were conducting shuttle diplomacy and guaranteeing, trying to get the Arab monarchies on the side, plus Egypt, to on the side of the ceasefire. But we can see how fragile it is when Trump muses, as he did in the last couple of days, how enticing the real estate of Gaza might be to investors like him, and how he also mused that he would like to see the population of Gaza transferred to Jordan and Egypt. So the issue is far from settled. What we need is what the UN has been working for the past 40 years or so, and that is a just, lasting, and comprehensive peace that gives Palestine a state of some kind in part of historic Palestine, gives it full membership in the United Nations, and that the United Nations sees that there's no block, that the Palestinian people in Gaza get to stay in Gaza, that Gaza is rebuilt completely, that there's no blockade on Gaza as there has been for the past 17 years or so, and that the occupation in the West Bank ends and the status of the Al-Aqsa Mosque is guaranteed and protected. None of these things are part of the temporary ceasefire.
Right.
And that's where we need to aim.
Right. As Ken mentioned, the prisoner exchange, I want to talk about a little bit about the way this happened, the Israeli captives being released. All the mainstream media in the West, they all said that this was a show of force, show of power by Hamas, and showed that they are still there, despite all the claims by the Israeli leaders that we have aimed to ruin Hamas, dismantle Hamas. What have they achieved, really? What kind of success are the Israelis talking about now?
Israelis have no success whatsoever. Israelis, they showed, and the resistance showed that they have a hollow army. It was fake news all along saying this is the fourth largest army in the world. This is controlling West Asia. This is the function state to secure imperialist interest in the Arab region. And suddenly, after under 2,000 Palestinian freedom fighters with their preemptive strike, to abort what they call at the time the normalization of Saudis with them, which, as Blinken said, it was dated on November 23, the Palestinian done on 7th of October. They preempt that and abort that, and then they aborted I2U2, which is India, Emirati, Saudi, lane to Israel and go to Europe, which is alternative to Silk Routes, China Silk Route, which is supposed to bring a water tunnel from the Dead Sea, Red Sea to Gaza, which means destroy most of Gaza. All of these, and as well, as I said, even the documents I was mentioning in there, after less than a week, 13th of October, it's were saying how they were planning all along to displace the Palestinians out of Gaza. And let me follow with what my colleague was saying rightly about the Americans' diplomacy here and the Arabs. The Americans, they mounted the pressures disguised as a humanitarian concerns to calling for a protection of the Palestinian people from the Zionist bombardment and took them to safe areas in the border with Egypt or some to Jordan. This talk we're talking about from November and December, 15 months after the, and we heard the Arab leaders themselves at the time, they were saying, no, they are not going to accept this place, displacing the Palestinian people. We're talking about January and February and March of 24. So the talk about displacing the Palestinians, which being pressurized these Arab regimes by the Americans, diplomats as Blinken, as others, as the Scholz, and the German one when came to visit Egypt, all of that was singling there is a huge plan being displayed in the region by the Americans under the cover of humanitarian. Look at the statement of Donald Trump after 15 months came, when he came to the White House, and he says to convince the Egyptian and the Jordanian and the Arab countries to receive some Palestinian residents of Gaza. This goes in line, hand in hand, with the fascist, Nazis, Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, and Netanyahu's plans to evict the Palestinians out of Gaza. It's transferring the people, even Trump was talking about, to Indonesia, and now to Egypt and to Jordan, under a humanitarian, because he wants to clear the area and prepare the area. And he said they can stay there for a short or a long period. This is a very racist, this is a very fascist colonial project they want to impose on the Palestinian people. They lost the war. They want to now win it by tricking the Palestinians and the Arab regimes in accepting something like that, which they will never succeed in doing so.
Right, exactly. This brings me to my next question. The Trump's so-called proposal regarding Gaza, sending Palestinians to other countries, cleaning out Gaza. Ken, do you believe that this kind of rhetoric still has buyers in the world and international community?
I do believe it has buyers in the West, the usual suspects, namely NATO, which has been all along behind the scenes supplying the state of Israel with all the military hardware it needed in order to conduct the genocide in Gaza. So behind the scenes, all those NATO countries are supportive of what my colleague said is the racist colonial project of Israel in Palestine. Of course, the project is also blessed by the main imperial power, which is the U.S. And so all of its allies in the Arab, among the Arab monarchies, also support this project in various degrees. So what I'm trying to say basically is that the peace, the ceasefire, and the gains that the Palestinians have managed to pull out of this horrible experience of genocide are very fragile, and the struggle is going to continue. We're a long way from the end of this struggle, and the end of the struggle is about the self-determination of the Palestinian people in their own land, or at least part of their own land at this point. And that's what we need the other countries of the world, the majority of the world, to get behind and to push through one way or another, through the UN or through a general peace conference, to guarantee the rights of the Palestinians to remain on their land in Gaza and the West Bank and have a state which is internationally recognized and has UN membership, and to end the occupation in the West Bank. All of these things are still to be gained, and the ceasefire, as I said, is very fragile. I would like to make the point we were right all along that it would only take one phone call from the U.S. president to bring about an end to the Israeli attacks on Gaza. To his credit, Trump did it in one phone call. It means that Biden and Blinken were partners in the genocide, and they could have instituted, made the same phone call to Netanyahu as early as May of this year or even December of last year, because the ceasefire agreement is virtually identical to the one that was proposed in December 2023. So all Biden and Blinken were instrumental in allowing this genocide to go ahead because they want to use Israel as a battering ram against all the countries that of West Asia, such as Lebanon and Syria and Iraq, and of course Iran, that's the big prize. They wanted to use Israel as a battering ram in order to restore the hegemony of the U.S. over this region, which it has enjoyed more or less since the end of the Second World War.
Right. Ken Nassib, you know, regarding the collective West, we know that currently, at the moment at least, wherever Israel goes, America seems to follow. But in some specific cases, this cannot be said about the other Western countries. For example, we have Germany now, who is the second biggest arms supplier to Israel. 24% of the arms are supplied by the German government. But at the same time, even they could not agree with what Trump suggested as a universal suggestion, a proposal to solve the Gazan crisis forever. So they stood against him. Even France today has taken a different stance. You know, how does this, are we seeing a divide? Could we say that this is also a defeat for Israel in the diplomatic side of things?
Yeah, definitely. The 7th of October, it changed the narrative worldwide and exposed the Zionist entity to what it is, not to what the official media in the West portraying the Zionist entity as the oasis of democracy and freedom and liberty in the region. They showed who they are, as always the Palestinians were saying to them, to the West and to the world, we are victims of a genocide from 1917 at the hands of the British, then inherited by the Americans, then the Zionist entity when established in 1948 continued. And there is many, today there is over 8.5 million Palestinian refugees being pushed out of Palestine. They are in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, and Diaspora. The Palestinians, what they suffered at the hand of the Zionist entity, documented, and everywhere it knows, and every Palestinian ownership of a house, of a farm, of everything was recorded, and the statistics of that recorded at the United Nations in 1944, 1945, before they decided to do the partitions of Palestine according to Resolution 181. It's the most documented massacres, most documented genocide, but the West media, which is today we discover it's part of the war machine of the West and colonial warfare they waged in the region and in the world, denying that and throwing the narratives to the world. It's true. We failed in countering that because we didn't have a brilliant media to counter that. We didn't have investment from Arabic countries who have a huge media like Qatar, have Al Jazeera, but it chose the line of the West in it, and it's defending the right. It does some good work on Palestine, but not that great. And I'm going to say, to continue with what my colleague was saying, right. Blinken in 23... December 23rd, I think December 23 as well, said if Hamas will surrender and drop the weapons, the war will stop. And then 15 months later, we are talking about Trump coming with the policy of displacing the Palestinians. So as a long between the Democratic administration and the Republic administration, it becomes displacing of the Palestinians and pushing them out of Gaza is a cross-party position. It's the establishment. It's the deep state. It's the United States of America's position. It doesn't matter who's ruling, the Liberal Democrats or the Republicans. Both of them showed the same face. Yes, Trump maybe pushed a little bit to stop the war. But we understand, as Blinken said to the Atlantic Club when he was given his speech there, the Palestinian resistance rebuilt itself, compensated all its losses. and is very strong and cannot be defeated. And Biden himself said after the Palestinian resistance tunnels 200 feet deep, they are strong. You cannot defeat it. So the idea of the resistance being able to create a graveyards in the north of Gaza to their tanks, the Merkava, and that's what defeated them. That's what pushed the Israelis to seek for the ceasefire. All along, they delayed it till Trump arrives to office to portray they're going to sign the deal as a gift to Trump. But in reality, they were defeated by the resistance.
Right. Thank you, Saeb. Let us go to Ken again. Ken, the Israeli regime stated that it's one of its clearest goals was to neutralize Hamas, and they failed to do it on a military level. But did they even manage to make Hamas any less popular within the civilian society in Palestine?
As my colleague said, Hamas managed to recruit many more people than it lost in the battle. So, no, they did not succeed in that. But I think the main point is that we have in power in the U.S. A president who, in his last administration, moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem against the international community's consensus. He approved of the annexation by Israel of the West Bank and the Golan Heights, and he is the guy who has troops sitting on the eastern third of Syria on the oil and wheat fields. So he is no friend of the Palestinians. And in the months ahead, it's going to be quite a battle for the Palestinian people in the West Bank and Gaza to hang on to what they have, and never mind the people in Lebanon and Syria who've been, who've been hammered by the Israelis and whose land is now currently occupied by the Israelis, who are merely a vassal of the U.S., the tip of the U.S. spear point.
Thank you so much. Just 30 seconds, Saeb. Can you tell me, please, who is going to foot the bill now, all the destruction in Gaza?
The Americans expected the Arabic countries to do that. They milked Saudi Arabia of nearly $1 trillion now. Saudis wanted to invest, as they said, $600 billion. Trump said it, no, round it up to $1 trillion. They are milking the region of its own resources. Instead of money being used in Gaza, they want to take the money out of the region. So the Americans are throwing the bill at the Arabs. And the problem is, in the future, rebuilding Gaza needs its own port, and this is denied to access. Israel will use all the material to come as a leverage to influence the political future of Gaza, connecting with the West Bank. That's why we need the Arabs and the international to pressurize the negotiator in there to find a way for the Palestinian to receive the materials for rebuilding Gaza through the sea, not Egypt, not the Zionist entity.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. As much as I wanted to continue the conversation, we are unfortunately at the end of the program. Very good to have you on the show. Saeb Shahs, author and commentator, joining us from Belfast, and Ken Stone, executive committee member from Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, joining us from Hamilton. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for joining us on another Spotlight.
Love, love. Yeah, I'll الإسلام الأقصى run peace goes hand in hand. This is our home. It is our right. Yes, Allah knows it's our Palestine. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my hurt? One day the sun will rise over this land. حبك في قلبي سامحني يا أقصى عيناك تبكي فإني هنا أدعو إلهي احميها يا رب فهي في قلبي يا أقصى حبك
قضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience. Welcome to the series of talks for humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi, talking with you about different types of communications with different classes of a society. And we try to deduce these instructions out of the Holy Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very important type of people in a society is the hypocrites. By hypocrites, we mean the ones who appear to have faith, but actually they are not having that. So I think by this definition, we have differentiated hypocrites from transgressors. The very clear difference between transgressors and hypocrites is that the transgressors are faithful. They have true beliefs. They are faithful. They are mu'min. They have creeds in common with us. But their problem was not to follow the practical limitations, the practical instructions of religion. But hypocrites are exactly vice versa. Because hypocrites, they do not have true beliefs. Actually, they do not believe in what we believe. But most likely, they pretend to be true believers. So when you look at them, you see that they have the same behaviors, the same religious behaviors, religious acts. They pray, they fast. But when you dig their beliefs, you see that no, they do not have the same beliefs. They pretend so, but they don't have it. So there's a huge difference between these two groups. So we can say that actually their hearts is transgressor. that could be an accurate terminology. Their hearts is transgressor, because al-iman, faith, is the obligation, is the act of the heart. And since they do not have faith within their heart, so their heart is transgressor. Because a belief is one of the obligations of a heart. We have to reinforce our belief. We have to reinforce and correct our faith. Naturally, the hypocrites are in the societies in which the Muslims, the believers, the true believers, have a kind of power, a kind of superiority. Whether the population of believers are more than the others, the majority are believers, or they have political power. So there are some people who do not have the common beliefs, but since they think they cannot express their infidelity, their non-believing in the faith that the other people have, they think that, okay, I cannot express that, because if I express, I will be, it will be clear to everyone that I am not faithful. So for covering that, for hiding that, they pretend that they are believers. How they pretend? By their acts. So these are the munafiqun, hypocrites. Let's see a little bit more about them after a short break. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya muslimi sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. This is Hamza Azizi. We've been talking about hypocrites and hypocrisy in the Holy Book. If we want to open the profile of hypocrisy in the Quran, that could take several and numerous episodes. It's a very comprehensive issue, to the extent that an independent chapter is named after hypocrites. Chapter Suratul Munafiqun, and it shows how in many occasions of the Holy Book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the issue of munafiqeen. Even the issue means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the issue of infidels, more than the issue of kuffar and non-believers. Why? Because their danger for the Islamic society is much more graver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna al-munafiqeen humul fasiqun." The hypocrites are actually indeed the transgressors. I elaborated the secret beyond this verse. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that hypocrite is a transgressor? Because the obligation of a person's heart is to have a true faith. And since a hypocrite does not have a true faith, so his heart is transgressor. So we cannot cover all aspects of hypocrisy, the issue of hypocrisy and hypocrites in our discussions. But the issue that we want to touch briefly within these episodes is how to communicate with them. But before touching that, you might ask that, okay, it is not very easy to identify them, let alone communicating with them. If I want to know how to communicate with hypocrites, first of all, I have to identify who is hypocrite. And then after I identified, after I verified that, for example, this person is a hypocrite, then I follow the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to behave and how to communicate with them. That is a true statement. So before going to that, I bring you some of the characteristics of hypocrites. Before that, we should know that by identifying the characteristics of hypocrites, we do not mean that everyone who has such characteristic is definitely a hypocrite. No. The ones who have chosen these characteristics as their permanent personality, their permanent identity, when you face them, you see that the person is such person during all occasions of his life. Not that he commits this for 1, 2, 3 times. No, because a person might, even a true person, a true believer, might be tempted by the devil for 1, 2, 3 times, and he exceeds the limitations of true belief, and he becomes similar, practically similar to the hypocrites. But by these characteristics, we mean the people who have chosen these characteristics as their identity, as their characteristic, as their expressions, if we can say. So, inshallah, in the next episode, we will follow the characteristics of hypocrites. Thank you. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Is all I'm hoping for. Oh Allah, make my wishes come true. Jannah, Jannah.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
As the Zionist regime's bombing of the Gaza Strip halted recently, it redirected its violence to the occupied West Bank. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Electronic Intifada wrote, the Zionist regime's military, police and domestic spy agency, the Shin Bet, jointly launched on January 21st a larger-scale open-ended military operation in northern West Bank city of Jenin, mere days after the Palestinian Authority concluded a deadly operation that lasted more than a month. In its latest invasion of Jenin, the Zionist regime has killed at least 14 Palestinians, including a child, and injured at least 50 as it entered its fifth day recently. About 2,000 Palestinian families were forcibly displaced from Jenin as a result of Israel's deadly raid. The Israeli invasion is a continuation of the PA's dirty work in the camp, which saw the killing of 15 Palestinians, including 3 children, between December 5th and January 17th, as the Israeli army now seeks to reach several targets that PA forces have failed to, Tel Aviv Daily Haaretz reported. The The Zionist regime military invaded Jenin using vehicles with Palestinian license plates on January 21st. The troops, who invaded undercover, were shortly followed by massive military reinforcements, including armored vehicles and bulldozers, as the Zionist regime launched the so-called Operation Iron Wall. Israeli regime troops raided Palestinian homes, forced residents to leave the refugee camp, and arrested numerous young men. The Israeli regime military carried out several aerial bombardments in densely populated civilian areas. The bombardments included drone strikes, as well as helicopter gunfire. Israeli snipers reportedly positioned themselves on building rooftops, while Israeli forces blocked paramedics from reaching the injured, according to Wafa news agencies. Israeli regime forces besieged the Jenin public hospital and damaged the infrastructure around it and destroyed the main roads towards it, with rubble blocking the entrance. Patients and medical staff were stuck inside the hospital, unable to leave, and medical supplies, food and other basic and urgent necessities could not reach the hospital. The director of the hospital told CNN that five medical staff were injured by Israeli regime gunfire. The director of another hospital in Jenin also told the broadcaster that the youngest of more than a dozen injured patients were 4 months old, injured by gunfire shrapnel in the camp. "The camp is nearly uninhabitable," said Ronald Friedrich from the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA. He added that the agency has not been able to provide full services to the Jenin refugee camp since the Palestinian Authority raided it. One Palestinian woman, Imam Mohammad Eid, 45, died on January 1st after Israeli regime forces obstructed her ability to reach the hospital. She had shown symptoms of a heart attack, according to the Palestinian Authority's health ministry. The Zionist regime forces reportedly set up iron gates at the entrances to West Bank towns and villages, fragmenting them into isolated zones and restricted the movement of people. An Israeli sniper shot and killed 16-year-old Mortaz Emad Abu Tabikh shortly after the Israeli regime military invaded the Jenin refugee camp. There were no confrontations in the area when the Israeli sniper shot the child around noon on January 21st, Defense for Children International Palestine said. As a fragile ceasefire takes hold in Gaza, the Israeli military now turns in attention to Jenin, whose residents have been targeted with lethal force again and again, said Ayed Abu Akhtiash, Accountability Program Director at DCIP, adding, "Palestinian children are still not safe as Israeli forces continue to target Palestinian childhood with impunity." The Zionist regime forces have killed at least 7 Palestinian children in the West Bank since the start of the year, 4 by drone strikes and 3 others by live ammunition. This toll does not include 3 Palestinian children killed during the Palestinian Authority raid on the Jenin refugee camp, which started in the first week of December and concluded this month. The CIP has yet to determine the perpetrators responsible for each child's death during the PA raid, as the subsequent Israeli regime military incursion has hindered such investigations. Israeli drone-fired missiles killed 6 Palestinians, including a 14-year-old boy, in Jenin refugee camp earlier this month. Mahmoud Ashraf Gabriel was sitting with his father when an Israeli regime drone fired at a group of civilians on the evening of January 14th. Ayed Abu Akhtiash from DCIP said, "The square in Jenin refugee camp is a community gathering point and a bustling area where residents do their daily shopping. And Israeli forces targeted Palestinians, including Mahmoud, with deadly drone strikes when they posed no threat to the Israeli military." Since the beginning of the year, the Zionist regime has killed 34 Palestinians in the West Bank. We'll be right back. The mayor of Jenin, Mohammad Jarrar, said Israel's attack on the camp is by far the hardest and most troubling in recent months. The Zionist regime's war minister, Israel Katz, has indicated that the operation draws one lesson from Israel's genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Katz suggested the military's aim is to remove armed resistance from the camp, and that terrorism does not return to the camp after the operation is over, as he claimed. In December 2023, 2 months into the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza, the Israeli regime military said it had operational control over northern Gaza areas, among them Beit Hanun and Jabalia. In October 2024, the Zionist regime military reinvaded Jabalia and its refugee camp and laid a complete siege to the area that lasted 2 months, during which it prevented the entry of aid, leading to warnings of an imminent famine. Armed Palestinian resistance continues to emerge, perhaps even especially in neighborhoods that the Zionist regime devastates, regardless of how deadly or repressive Israel's invasions of those areas may be. That is one lesson the Zionist regime consistently refuses to heed.
Thank you.